have seen how algorithmic biases can perpetuate discrimination and prejudice, and how the lack of transparency can undermine public trust. This is not the future we want.
If you were listening from home, you might have thought that voice was mine and the words from me. But in fact, that voice was not mine. The words were not mine.
That's Connecticut Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal kicking off today's Senate hearing on artificial intelligence. That clip he played was his voice recreated using AI voice cloning software with words generated by the AI chatbot ChatGPT. He was trying to highlight the incredible abilities and dangers of this new and rapidly developing technology. Three people testified at today's hearing, including Sam Altman, who runs the nonprofit company that developed ChatGPT. We're going to talk about this hearing now with E.C. Lepowski, who covered the hearing for Fast Company. Welcome back to Press Play, E.C.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Okay, so big concern from the senator seems to be how slow they were to respond to the rise of social media back in the day, and they feel like they don't want to be caught flat-footed again. So what has been the recent history of Congress and tech?
Well, I would say it goes back to really the creation of Section 230, which was created, you know, in the 90s at a time when the idea was that they wanted the internet to flourish. They wanted companies to be able to host, you know, third-party content. These would be bulletin boards back in the day, without getting sued for it. Because if everybody got sued for it, nobody was going to build these companies. So they created Section 230, and the internet as we know it was born. Now there's a little bit of regret about that. I would say more than a little bit of regret about that among Congress. We've heard now for years that, you know, they want to reform Section 230 in a variety of ways or get rid of it altogether because they feel that now it's basically become a free-for-all for social media companies and that because they have no liability, they take no responsibility. And so that is what they mean when they say that they kind of let it sneak up on them. I would say that there's been, you know, since there's been awareness of the problems posed by social media in the last, you know, several years, maybe a decade, they have still been very slow. So I would say that's sort of the second order mistake that they've made.
So everyone seems to be on board with some form of regulation, right? Or at least everyone at the hearing today, including Sam Altman. What kinds of regulation did they talk about?
Yeah, I would say this was a really different kind of hearing because there was so much consensus. There wasn't as much defensiveness from the tech side, which would be, you know, OpenAI in this case and IBM. You know, Sam Altman came to the table really prepared to endorse some big policies. One would be the creation of sort of an agency within government that governs AI. Another would be the creating of some kind of like licensing structure that makes it so that if you want to have certain sorts of capabilities that your AI can carry out, that you would have to, you know, get a license. They sort of analogized it to, you know, if you want to create a nuclear reactor, you can't just go out and do that one day. And then, you know, Sam Altman also was talking about, you know, the need for sort of a new liability regime that would hold AI developers accountable legally for harms that they create.
I wonder, though, if the horse has already left the barn, in a sense, because people are already using ChatGPT. It seems everywhere right now and other programs as well. Is it too late?
I think about that question a lot. In some ways, I would say, no, this is the perfect moment because when we talk about the horse leaving the barn in other respects, whether it's Section 230 or passing privacy legislation, the argument from the tech industry is often huge swaths of the economy rely on this. You know, all internet platforms rely on Section 230. All ad-based websites rely on targeted advertising. So, you know, do anything to affect privacy, do anything to affect Section 230, and you're going to, you know, crush all these businesses. People are going to lose their jobs. There's always that sort of doomsday scenario. I would say we're really on the cusp of generative AI, you know, ChatGPT, the example you mentioned, being sort of a foundation of the economy. I think that's something that a lot of people are afraid of. And so they're trying to anticipate future risks, which in some ways does make this, you know, a really, you know, possibly hopeful moment to get ahead of the worst problems. But I would say in other ways, you're right. I mean, a lot of this technology is open source. A lot of this technology is being developed in other countries where U.S. laws are not going to apply. And that's certainly weighing heavily on lawmakers thinking about, you know, how do we regulate this this industry while also staying competitive with, you know, allies, but also potential adversaries. So I think there are two ways to look at it that, you know, one is, you know, it's not necessarily going to be this huge economic disruptor yet to rein in these companies somewhat. On the other, it is, you know, it's science, it's math, it's developing, it's widespread, it's diffuse. College kids are learning this stuff today. And so that does make it a little bit harder.
Yeah, well, college kids are using it today to write papers and other stuff. And, you know, companies, as you say, are beginning to use it. And there was a story in today's New York Times about how there might be an AI that shows signs of human reasoning, which is incredible. And they call that artificial general intelligence, or AGI, instead of just AI. How far along is AI technology? What can it do reasonably?
I think that there's, you know, ongoing debate about this, and there is sort of an effort by experts in the AI field and certainly AI ethicists to push back against some of the, you know, hype around, you know, AI consciousness and all of those things. You know, and Sam Altman would say it himself that, you know, this is a technology that's very good at doing tasks that humans ask it to do. It is not necessarily prepared to replace humans in those jobs yet. So, you know, he you know, has not said that that's not coming. He said that almost certainly is coming. And so, you know, a lot of those more existential risks of AI are, you know, farther down the road. But in the near term, there are already, you know, significant risks from the deployment of AI in a whole bunch of fields. You could think about healthcare. You could think about the criminal justice system. You could think about, you know, the way AI is used in selection of students from universities, in the way it's used, you know, to select tenants for housing. And there are all sorts of implications of the way AI bias can affect people's lives today, to say nothing of, you know, the long-term risks, which people are, you know, right to be raising and preparing for. But I always do have in the back of my mind the voices of, you know, AI researchers and ethicists that I've spoken to, you know, not to buy in too much to the hype too soon.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the ethics around it, is there a push, at least in Congress, to try to address that? I know there is some legislation on the Democratic side introduced some kind of transparency in how AI is programmed, if you will, and the ethics around that. But is there any, I don't know, understanding of the ethics that go into creating artificial intelligence on Capitol Hill? Or is it everyone sort of fumbling around in the dark trying to figure it out?
It's still very much in development, but what I will say is that it's happening much more quickly than we saw, obviously, with social media, where, you know, you had decades, right? ChatGPT kind of woke people up to this 6 months ago. Obviously, as I said, AI has been embedded in a lot of things for a while now, and there are certainly a lot of people who have been raising their hand about this for a long time. Now it seems like ChatGPT kind of shocked the system, and so you do have, you know, these efforts coming together. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is leading one of those efforts in Congress. You had last year, the White House came out with its AI, you know, blueprint for an AI Bill of Rights. And that lays out sort of a number of the rights that that people should have, you know, non-discrimination of AI by AI tools, privacy rights that they should have. And all of that was supposed to be more or less a blueprint for government agencies and anyone considering legislation. Recently, President Biden announced that the White House Office of Management and Budget is going to be reviewing its own procurement process. So how does the U.S. government work with providers of AI systems, and what rules of the road are they going to put in place? And, you know, that sounds like a kind of wonky thing, but it's pretty meaningful. I mean, the federal government is a huge, huge customer. So to the extent that the federal government says we're only only going to work with companies that do X, Y, and Z, you know, that can set some norms, that can set some standards. Yeah. But ultimately, you know, there have to be laws in place, because whatever the norms are, there are going to be lots of people who want to break those norms intentionally.
Issy Lepowski, freelance journalist who covered the Senate hearing today on AI for Fast Company. Issy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up, how Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas went from poverty to being one of the most powerful men in America.
Most Black people do not like Clarence Thomas. They don't trust him. His name is even a sort of like a derisive term. You're doing a Clarence Thomas.
A new Frontline documentary examines the rise of Thomas and his wife, Jenny, next on Press Play.